and the Kindle. Going to NTI. And it looks like that we are on page 136, verses 12 to 16, which says, "Do not be bothered that the names of the apostles in one book of the New Testament do not match up with the names of the apostles in another book. These details are not important because these details are meaningless. The apostles are but symbols which represent everyone, and so there is no difference between one apostle and another, or between one man and you. We are all followers of the path that comes from within. We are all guided to learn the truth by following the path of unreality." So, first of all, this paragraph comes from the fact that at verses 12 to 16, and I guess we're in Luke 6, it does list the apostles. And, you know, I'd already read Matthew and Mark. And when I read the list of the apostles, I thought, that doesn't seem the same. And I actually went back and checked, and it wasn't the same. And then my fearful mind kicked in. I mean, you know, it went all the way to the truth is not true, you know, because the names of the apostles don't match. This is all just a made-up bunch of crap. And you know, literally a panic ensued. So this is why this paragraph starts the way it does. It's addressing the scribe directly. Do not be bothered. What's interesting is that Holy Spirit didn't do anything to address it. Holy Spirit didn't do anything to explain, you know, for example, well, this guy actually had two names. It's the same person. He was just referred to by this name here and that name there. He didn't do anything to address it. He just told me that these details are meaningless, which is actually a much bigger lesson that I didn't get fully until, you know, a few years later probably. But we always want to understand with the thinking mind. You know, we want this thing up here, the brain, the mind, we want it to approve. We want it to be okay with. And the fact is, that's just not always going to happen on the spiritual path. In fact, the further and further we go, the less and less this thing is going to approve. So at some point, we need to become settled with an unsettled thinking mind, with a thinking mind that's saying, this just isn't making sense. And so Spirit is already starting to teach that to me here. He's just saying it doesn't matter that their names aren't the same. You know, and he's not at all going into trying to make my mind settled on that point. He also goes on to say that they're really just symbols of all of us, right? And then he says that we are all followers on the path that comes from within. And then he says, we are all guided to learn the truth by following the path of unreality, which is exactly what we're doing. We forget, I think, when we don't walk around consciously thinking about it, but we are still experiencing the illusion. And everything about the illusion is illusion. A Course in Miracles is illusion. NTI is illusion. You could even say, and you'd probably be, I think you'd be right, that our progress is illusion. Our spiritual progress, it's all illusion. The awakening itself, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, the awakening itself is always a spontaneous event. And when that spontaneous event occurs, from what I understand, everything is so drastically different. The way that you see, who you think you are, everything is so drastically different that in that moment, the world that you thought existed a moment before does not exist. And so Spirit is telling us that we are on the path of unreality. The spiritual path is a path of unreality. And I think that that's helpful, even though, again, the mind can't really do anything with that. For me, it seems helpful to keep that in mind. I don't know why. I can't even explain it to you. Maybe it keeps us from taking things too seriously. Maybe it keeps us from getting too big for our britches, you know, oh, I've done this and this and this and this. You know, hell, I'm still an illusion. How big can I be? Right? Keeps us humble. I mean, I don't know exactly what it does, but Spirit made the point of saying it. Also, I recently read that book just before I went to India, Perfect Brilliant Stillness by David Kars, and he makes a humongous point of telling us that. You're either awake or you're not. You know, don't go thinking you're waking up. You know, he's a little bit almost rudish sounding in the way he says it, but that's in effect what Spirit is saying here. You're either awake or you're not. And it doesn't hurt to be humble. It doesn't hurt to remember that no matter how much seeming progress there is, the truth is we are still the student. All of us. Because forgetting that allows ego to come in and take over. So that humble posture is the most helpful posture that we can maintain. And so somehow remembering that I don't even know the difference between reality and unreality yet, it's helpful to keep us humble, right? Yeah.
One thing, and I'll keep it brief, David Hoffmeister used to say to remember that you're always dreaming.
Remember that you're always dreaming, yes.
And that we're all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, so, all right, so 17 to 26. The world is a great temptation for you, because the world was made as a distraction from truth. Everything in the world is not truth, and yet you want to make sense of it and make it real. So he's following up the themes that he laid out in the previous paragraph. To the degree that you can let go of the world and not be concerned about it, that is to the degree that you accept healing. And to the degree that you are involved in the world and taking care of its many problems, that is to the degree that you reject healing as the answer to its problems. You know, that's a pretty strong message. So, I just don't know what to even say about this. I mean, obviously, many people feel that there are causes that are worthwhile. And not only that, but a good spiritual person would be involved in that cause. And what this is telling us is that is merely a distraction, because it's keeping you caught up in the world. Again, we forget that we don't know the difference between reality and unreality. And, you know, whether our cause is the environment or whether our cause is, stopping the abuse of puppies or whatever it is, if we're getting caught up in something like that, we're getting caught up in the world. And I think this is probably one of the toughest things for people, because it seems so noble, you know, to be helping out. But if you really look at it with even a little bit of wisdom, you'll realize it's nothing but a fool's trap. Because those problems are never solved. Never. It doesn't mean that if a hurt puppy crosses your path, you can't help it. You know what I mean? But as far as tackling the problems of the world, trying to save the world, it's never going to happen. Even when diseases are cured, a new disease pops up. When a war ends, a new war starts. That's the nature of the world. And so, it's much better to focus on the awakening. It's because the dreaming is the cause of the seeming world, right? So focus on the awakening. That reminds me, Peace Pilgrim used to say...
Sorry,
that's okay. Peace Pilgrim used to say that, you know, she saw what was going on in the world, but that she preferred to work at the level of cause. Right, the level of cause, which we all know means the level of mind. And you could say that's what we're called to do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? We are called to work on the level of cause. And for each of us, that's what appears to be this individual's mind. Ruby's smiling a lot tonight. She's having a ball over here. Yeah. So again, the world is a great temptation for you because the world was made as a distraction from truth. That's its purpose. Everything in the world is not truth. And yet you want to make sense of it and make it real, right? To the degree that you can let go of the world and not be concerned about it. And one helpful thought is knowing that somehow everything is in good hands, right? Everything is being taken care of on its own, in its own way. Everyone is being led to awakening. Everything is unfolding the way it needs to. If you can, in your heart, honestly adopt that attitude, then it helps you to step back. Because even when things look bad, there's something in you that really knows that actually it's working towards what you could call the ultimate good, which is awakening, right?
I have to share this.
Okay, here.
It's very...
very short. I'm going to let you hold the recorder.
Oh, okay. This what we're talking about, you know, what we're talking about the distractions of the world. Well, as you guys know, Whitney Houston died, and she was one of my favorite artists, big time. I just loved her music, and I loved her, too. So I had written this poem that was inspired by her, and it was called Strength. And I posted on my Facebook on December 5th, you know, last year. And so then I happened to be looking at my poems on my Facebook, and I looked at that poem on strength. I said, oh my God, that poem, you know, is kind of like, it's actually kind of like what Whitney Houston just went through, my poem on strength. And she had this song called Strength. And so I posted the song, posted my poem, and I said, you know, this is love giving up what love requested, because her song had to do with strength of her overcoming her demons and blah, blah, blah. And she just said, you know, she didn't think she could do it. She was crumbling, blah, blah, blah. And then she was able to do it by faith, that the song said that. So I posted my poem, posted the song, and then I felt good. I said, oh, yeah, this is it. And then I finished, and I walked in the kitchen, and a voice said to me, it's not true. Everything that I was written, it was not true. It was just saying, you know, it's just not true. But I didn't, you know, it's just not true. It's just a distraction, an illusion. And so that made me chuckle. After all that aggravation, and you know when you're posting something on Facebook, you know, you go over it over again and again and again and again. And it took me like, you know, an hour or so. And then when I finished, it said, it's not true. So I thought it was, I didn't want to report it. But, you know, that was just funny. It's exactly what we're saying.
Yeah.
Distractions of everything.
Yes. All right, so let's look at verses 27 to 36. It is within the world that you seem to be. So it is within the world that I come to lead you. But I ask you to look at the world differently now. No longer accept that there is a you and a them who is separate from you. This is the view the ego has of the world. My view is that the world is all one song with different notes played in harmony to create the one. It is the song that is cherished, not the notes. And it is the song, and the song is being played perfectly by me, who is the director of the music. If you look at the song from my point of view, you see its beauty and perfection. But if you look at the song from the point of view of one note, who believes it is separate and competing with other notes, the song seems to be a war filled with attack and grievance and worry. Remember that you are not the note. That is a distorted view of the music. We are the song as one sound together. Love the entire song. Every aspect is equally important to the whole. Every aspect valuable and cherished for its part in it. Share the perspective of the song by seeing yourself as the song and by loving the entire song just as it is, without judgment or desire that the song should be played differently. So again, he's giving us that viewpoint that regardless of how it looks to us, what is really happening here is nothing but one grand awakening. And every little detail of the world is working in that direction. You know, it kind of reminds me of Helen Schuckman had a vision prior to the course coming, if I remember correctly. She was at the subway, and you know, Helen didn't necessarily, in personality, love everyone. In fact, she probably more likely didn't, especially those grungy people at the subway, right? But suddenly, oh no, I think she was actually at a boardwalk. Well, either a subway or a boardwalk, who cares? But suddenly, she saw that everyone was moving together in the same direction with the same purpose. It's like suddenly she saw the song being played and she just fell in love with everyone. And so Spirit is saying that literally if we saw with him, this is how we would see. We would understand the absolute perfection of every detail. And so what he's asking us to do, if nothing else, is to trust that. To trust that there is nothing wrong, there's nothing out of order. Everything is working together perfectly. And when I received this, I had kind of like an image of like a classical piece of music with tons and tons of notes. And I had the image during that one paragraph that I was just one note. And all those other notes seemed to be beaten up on me, you know. But then when you pulled back from that and you just heard the music, then you understood that it was a totally different perspective. It also reminds me of that song. What's that song about? That song about from God's point of view.
From a distance.
From a distance. Mm, yeah. Yeah, from a distance. Exactly. So. Okay, verses 37 to 38. Everything that you see and experience, you see and experience through the filter of your mind. There can be no exception. This is always true. This is why you can see or experience something in one way and have one opinion or belief about it, and another one can seem to see or experience it in another way and have another opinion or belief. All of this seeing is occurring through the ego mind, which does not see at all. It interprets. The ego mind is itself a seeming split apart from the Christ mind, which is one. Since the ego mind is a split or a fraction, its perspective or viewpoint is not whole. Since it is not whole, it is not knowledge, which is why it interprets. But the ego mind is not aware that it interprets. It believes it knows. This is why ego minds seem to conflict. Each one merely interprets without knowledge, but mistakes its interpretation for knowledge. Knowledge cannot conflict, for it is whole. Interpretation cannot conflict, since it is not knowledge. It can only seem to conflict, but that is a conflict of illusions or unreality, which is no conflict at all. Everything you see and experience, you see and experience through the filter of your own mind. In order to find peace, one must abandon interpretation and remember knowledge. This is the process of learning that I lead you through. You are learning that you do not know. You interpret. This enables you to step back from conflict and knowing that your interpretation is nothing. Let your interpretation go. As interpretation is released, knowledge can be given. Knowledge is peace, since knowledge has no conflict, because it is whole and it is truth. So, you know, just those paragraphs alone, the ones that I've just read, if we threw away every other book and literally focused on these paragraphs and learned them down to the marrow of our bones, we would awaken. Because our problem is that we think we know a whole lot of stuff. You know, if Dave and I have a conversation, I walk away from that conversation thinking I know what Dave said. I mean, shoot, he told me. He said it. I heard him, right? But if Susie happened to be there, Susie might have heard Dave say something else, and Dave might think he said something else. That's the problem. You know, the mind is constantly interpreting everything, and there just isn't anything that the mind gives us purely. Nothing. So it's all impure data. It's all impure data. And then we're walking around believing it, thinking that we know. So that's the problem, and that's the cause of every conflict that we have with any human anywhere, is that we believe our point of view. You couldn't conflict with someone if you didn't believe your point of view. And in fact, one of the things that came to me in clarity last year, it just suddenly came to me that the one thing that there can be no conflict over is truth. You know, when if two, we'll call them two people, although that's not true, but if two people honestly see truth, like Jesus and Ramana and Maharshi, or Jesus and Buddha, they're not going to sit down and fight about anything. Nothing. They see, they know. There's nothing to argue about. Which means that if there's anything that we're arguing about, it's not truth, so why the heck are we wasting our time? Why are we arguing over something that's not even true in the first place? And the answer is because we believe our egos, we believe ourselves. We believe we're right. So if you wanted to take a practice, and we're going to read some more here, I think, but if you just wanted to take one practice into next week, a very valuable practice to take into the week would be, every time I want to prove a point to someone, or every time I want to disagree with someone, or, you know, conflict with someone, or fight with someone, or whatever, remember that I have no idea what I'm talking about, because my mind has only given me impure data. And my brother has impure data too, which is why he's willing to argue with me about it. But again, I'm accepting my atonement here. I can let him keep his impure data if that's what he wants to do. But I, you know, there's just nothing to argue about. There's nothing to argue about. And try practicing that. Try backing off. Because you'll notice the only reason you want to stay in it is because you think you're right. You think you know. You think your point of view is the correct one. And just start recognizing that's not true. That's going to help you let go of ego so fast. I think if I remember correctly, it continues. So let's look at verses 39 to 42. Everything you see and experience, you see and experience through the filter of your own mind. This is good news, for what you see and experience witnesses to the interpretation that you believe is knowledge. Upon seeing it and knowing that it is not knowledge because it is not peace, you can choose to step back and let your false interpretation go. You may see your brother's error, which is his false interpretation that he mistakes for knowledge. I tell you that as long as you believe your interpretation, you do not have knowledge. Therefore, you cannot lead your brother to let go of his interpretation. For only knowledge can see clearly to lead mistakes to healing. Whatever you see in your brother, bring back to your interpretation, that you may give it up and be healed. This last paragraph is the verse in the Bible where it says something about You cannot take the little piece of wood out of your brother's eye when you have a beam in yours. You know, it's so easy if you want to get it. Of course, part of us doesn't. But it's so easy whenever you disagree with your brother, you're wrong. And if you're wrong, how could you correct him? That's what we're being taught here. You're wrong every time. Because if you were right, then that would mean you would see truth and there would be nothing to disagree about. So every single time, you are wrong. So why try and fix somebody else, correct somebody else, get them to see it your way? It doesn't make any sense at all. And it's just believing the illusion and staying tied up in the illusion and believing you're right and staying tied up in your right, in the idea that you're right. So it's not at all helpful to what we claim is our purpose, which is letting go of the ego. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. It's strengthening the ego. So I love this, and that he says, everything you see and experience, you see and experience through the filter of your own mind. And then he says, this is good news. For what you see and experience witnesses to the interpretation that you believe is knowledge. Upon seeing it and knowing that it is not knowledge, because it is not peace, you can choose to step back and let your false interpretation go. So just step out of it. Okay, verses 43 to 45. You will speak from your interpretation as long as you believe your interpretation. So when you recognize that you have an interpretation, it would be wise not to speak. Do not fight for an interpretation that is meaningless. For meaninglessness brings you nothing. When you notice that you have an interpretation, take a break from what you see. Seek quiet time with me and share your interpretation with me. Do not share your interpretation as if you must be right, expecting me to support you and lead you to the righteousness of your way. Share your interpretation expecting that you are wrong, because you have seen and believed without knowledge. In such humility, you can let go of your interpretation. You will see that it is nothing of value to you, and what you receive in its place you will extend, and that which you share shall be peace and restfulness. Again, you know, he's very clear that if we are not 100% and honestly at peace, we're wrong. There's just nothing real that could upset us. So if we're upset, we're wrong. It's that simple. It's that simple, you know. And so don't come to Spirit, again, expecting Spirit to say, yeah, you're right. You know, he's a jerk. He shouldn't have said that. You know, because that's not what Spirit's going to do. You know, someone has said to me before, Spirit never tells you that you're wrong. Well, I didn't say anything to that person because, you know, it's not my guidance to correct. But my experience has been, that's all Spirit does is tell me where I'm wrong when I'm willing to hear. I go and I say, I'm upset about this. And Spirit does say, share your interpretation. So if I think he's a jerk, that's what I share. I say, Spirit, you know, I think so-and-so's a jerk. They did this and this and this. I don't think they should have. I think that's wrong, blah, 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 blah. And then I ask, what am I not seeing? And Spirit comes back and corrects me, shows me where I'm wrong, but out of my own willingness. You know, Spirit would never butt in. You know, we can fight with each other all we want, and Spirit doesn't butt in and say, hey, 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 you're wrong and you're wrong. You know, that doesn't happen. But if we go and ask, that's what we get. Here's where you're wrong. Because that's exactly what was going on there. We were wrong. And that's what's causing our lack of peace, is believing our own wrongness and thinking we're right about it. Okay, verses 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I am Lord because I am knowledge. To listen to me and practice what I say is to find true peace that cannot be shaken because it is knowledge. But to listen and not practice is to keep your interpretation, which is not knowledge. And so you have chosen to keep nothing and believe it is something. This is to choose illusions over truth. And illusions cannot be shared, which means you're never going to be able to get your brothers to agree with your point of view, ever. Maybe occasionally on one little point, but it's never going to happen. Review my words and practice them. I am teaching you the way of peace. So obviously what he's saying to us here is, basically what he's saying is, I know that as you're sitting here reading this, you know I'm right. I know you know that. I know you recognize this truth. But don't close the book and just go back to your old habits. He's saying, do what I ask. As soon as your awareness, you know, you could be in the middle of a fight with someone, but as soon as your awareness says, wait a minute, I'm not at peace, this must be interpretation. As soon as you notice, back out. Come to me. You know? Again, Spirit's never encouraging us to judge ourselves, never. But he is encouraging us to change our habits. He's encouraging us to actually practice to the best of our ability. And whenever you practice anything to the best of your ability, the best of your ability gets better. You know, you may be in the middle of a fight that's been going on for 2 days when it suddenly hits you. Ah, geez, I was believing my interpretation. Then that's when you back out. And then later, it'll only take a day, and then half a day, and then an hour, and then 5 minutes. And later, before it comes out of your mouth, you're going to say, oops, that's my interpretation trying to bubble up, right? So you just start where you're at, you practice to the best of your ability, and it gets better. And it's as simple as that. Okay, so what I'm going to do then, we're at the end of chapter 6, so I am going to stop the recording. And then we'll do a little bit of silence, and then we'll go into our discussion.